This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth, and happy, I was going to say Thanksgiving, that was wrong. Happy February, guys. How are
happy
we doing?
February. It's almost spring, I guess. Yeah.
Get us into spring. This has been the longest month of January.
Yes.
I'm like ready for some sunshine.
Yeah. We are in the middle. We just got through Bleakmas, and now we are golden for the next 11 months.
Somebody did post in our Facebook group, RIP Bleakmas, and I loved that.
So bleak that we like dropped the ball and couldn't properly execute it.
No, it just didn't
exist. It's going to come at some point, guys, but it's just...
It's so bleak, no one cares about it.
Exactly. That's how bleak.
No, you like don't even look forward to it, and then you forgot that it passed, and you're just like, well, this is, I guess, what it is.
This is bleak. That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, it's so bleak. Before we get into the episode, I do want to talk about something that happened today. Well, I want Alexis to talk about something that happened today, because she was on a flight to Houston. And who'd you sit in back of?
It was not even directly. I zoomed in significantly. I saw this woman. She's probably sitting four rows ahead of me, like diagonal.
Yeah.
And I saw the phone in her hand, and it was like three blonde women wearing like, you know, monochrome outfits in like vintagey colors. And I was like, I recognize this because it's all from the LA Magazine article, right?
Yeah.
And she was like zooming in on it. I was like, that is Jack. She's zooming in on that. Is so funny. And then she started like clicking around through Kelty's Instagram and then clicking around through your Instagram. And I was like, this is so funny. I like watching her stalk in like real time. It was very fly on the wall.
What are the chances though that you'd be sitting in back of somebody that was like stalking me? I kind of love that.
I was just like, couldn't get my phone out fast enough because I'm like, this won't translate if I just tell her it happened.
You just tell her it's not as good.
It's like not gonna be half as good. She probably won't believe me. Like she'll be like, it was probably not me.
Yeah.
But I needed a photo and I couldn't get it that long, but that's what I got.
We got a photo. I love it. So whoever is on the flight to Houston on January 31st.
Yeah.
Thank you for your like probably on my photo.
Oh, you should bring it up on Lady Gang too.
I'm going to.
Yeah,
I'm
you
going
have to. Sure.
I love that. I thought it was just like a little fun anecdote. You know, it makes you feel good about life.
So good.
Okay. Well, do we have any housekeeping or should we go into the dark day?
The only housekeeping is thank you everyone for giving us some nice reviews. I was reading them. And for the people that wrote and said, I hope Billy reads this, I did. I read them all. So thank you.
Okay.
The review section is going to turn like love notes.
Yeah, I know. Everybody confessing their love to Billy because you're the only one reading them. But I love that. Thanks for all the good
reviews. Thank you, everybody. Keep it coming and tell your friends.
Keep it coming.
Yes.
Billy, what day is it today?
Well, now we're going to get dark because today is February 3rd. And it's the day the music died. Today is the day in 1959 that rock and roll musicians Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, and the big bopper, J.P. Richardson, were killed in a plane crash along with the pilot near Clear Lake, Iowa. And it is obviously one of the saddest days in music history. It inspired the song American Pie by Don McLean.
Such a good song.
And we are going to delve into this story because a lot of people think, okay, I know all about it. I know why they were flying. there are so many strange, weird details about how they actually got, the reasons why they actually got on that plane. And there was a lot of things, and it really, you know, no pun intended, it was a perfect storm. And it includes things like bad planning, possible negligence, maybe even a gun. And one of the victims was exhumed decades later. So that's all going to be coming in True Crime Rewind.
Oh, I'm kind of excited about this because I don't know much about it at all. So today was like the first time I was actually doing any research into it. Do you know about it, Lex?
None. I am so excited to be a student.
Yes. A student.
A student of the day of the musical death.
Yes. So before we get into that, though, I want to introduce a new segment. We share stories throughout the week about what's going on in the true crime world in our group text. And it's us three and Jared. And Jared just has to look at it and probably put it on mute or something. But we wanted to bring you in.
Nightmares.
We wanted to bring you in on the conversation. There's a case that I've been sent or I've been tagged in a bunch. And it's the bumble date death of Lauren Smith Fields. Now, if you haven't heard about this story, I mean, it's got to be your worst nightmare. Think about it. If you can't get a hold of your daughter, you get your son and you go to her apartment and there's a note on the door. And the note says, if you're looking for Lauren, call this number. And the number is for the landlord. They call the landlord. And the landlord tells the family that your daughter has died.
Whoa.
Now, the family tried calling the police, and they didn't hear anything. So the police never told them anything about this. This is the Bridgeport Police Department. Eventually, the medical examiner determined that she had died. Lauren had died from acute intoxication due to combined effects of fentanyl, promethazine, hydroxyzine, and alcohol. And they ruled it an accident. Now, here's the thing. You know, she's 23 years old. She had actually been on a Bumble date with an older man the evening prior to her death. And the family reached out, you know, was trying to figure out what's going on. They talked to the police officer, and the police officer said, you know what? We talked to him. He's a good guy. Don't worry about it. It was an accident. That's it. And the family is freaking out. They're saying, you know, what's going on? The guy's name is Matthew LaFountain, and he actually called 911 from her apartment on the morning of December 12th, and he told investigators that they met on Bumble. They met up in person. They started drinking shots of tequila. Lauren became ill, and they later played some games, ate food, and started to watch a movie. He then said that he carried her to her bedroom and laid her in the bed. He then laid down next to her and fell asleep, and he woke up at 6:30 in the morning, found her laying on her right side with blood coming out of her right nostril, and she wasn't breathing.
Jeez.
So the family doesn't hear from the police. They show up, they hear it from the landlord, and they go to the police aren't talking to them. The police just said he was a very nice guy. They're not looking into him anymore. And then they told the family, stop calling us, and hung up on the family, like complete disrespect to the family. The family goes to clean up the apartment because she, you know, they have to end the lease for the apartment. They saw a bunch of things that were never even taken into evidence. They saw a big circle of blood in the middle of the bed. There were two cups of drinks. There was a condom. There was lube. They hadn't taken any of this stuff. So they did not treat this at all like it was a crime scene. The only thing that's happened thus far is that, you know, recording this a little bit earlier, but the two detectives that were in charge that were dealing with the family have since been suspended. So that's one thing that's happening, and hopefully they're taking it a little bit more seriously as to what's going on. But they did not treat this like it was a crime scene. They just treated it like it was an accident.
Wow, that's so fucked up.
Very.
Yes. And Lauren was a Black woman. The LaFountain was a white male, and the mayor of Bridgeport actually, you know, put together a video and said, you know, we're taking this seriously. We're sorry about this. They've been suspended, and we're going to find out what happened.
Now, did they find out who wrote the note on the door? Was it the guy?
No idea.
Probably the landlord. It's probably the landlord who was like, Or maybe the landlord found out because he saw the body being wheeled out and he's like, I better leave it for the fam. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. I have to think it was the landlord. I mean, who else would know the landlord's number too?
Yeah.
So, instead of him himself. So I have to think it was the landlord. But I mean, can you just imagine, you know, the police don't talk to you or anything. And then that's how you find out. So
yeah,
we're going to be watching that story, but it's probably been, you know, taking a look at the biggest stories of crime this week. I think this is probably the biggest one that's been shared just a bunch.
Yeah. Well, hopefully something happens.
So,
and some justice is served in that situation.
Totally.
All right. Well, we're going to jump into when the day the music died in a little bit. But before then, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Okay, welcome to On the Stand. Every week we bring a person, place, idea, thought, whatever to the stand that's on our mind, and we're either prosecuting it or defending it. And then we have a healthy discussion and bring it on to Instagram to see if what's in our minds makes any sense or if we're just like totally off base with what we're pissed about this week. So I will go first.
Excellent.
I was just thinking about, you know, music in general and, you know, while we're researching stuff for this episode. And what I am bringing to the stand is the concept of like a band selling out. Like, you know, when you're like, oh, my favorite band, like I used to watch them when they played for 200 people and now they sold out and they're playing for thousands of people and I don't like them anymore. You know that concept?
Oh,
where
yeah.
It's like you want the band to yourself and you're pissed when they find success. So I'm putting this on the stand because it's, I think it's such a funny thing to think about for a band. Because if you care so much about this band or this music artist or whatever, you should want them to succeed so they can continue to play music and make things that you can enjoy and love. Because if they keep playing in these little small venues and they never find any success, they're going to have to go get a real job one day and they won't be able to make music anymore. So I just think it's such a funny thing for fans to like want their favorite bands to kind of like not succeed.
Yeah, it's an odd thing to criticize. Like,
do fans still do that? Is that still a thing? Because
yeah, sell out.
Yes,
sell out. They sold out, man.
It used to be before the internet and before, you know, the streaming killed record sales. It was all about if somebody put their song in a commercial. But now the only way to get in front of people is for your song to be in a commercial. So the idea of like selling out for your songs to be in commercials is less and less, you know. But
People still do it because it's like I think that there's like a pride of ownership if you're like one of the first kind of like waves of fans for a musical artist or something like that. But it's just it's like if more than like 10 people like the band, like they have to have fans to create music to create a living.
Mm-hmm. And to be inspired.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to call guilty on that.
It's guilty. I see people doing it all the time. I'm like, what? You know, they need to make
guilty.
Guilty. Guilty.
All right. Alexis, what do you've got?
So nothing about music is irritating me this week. So I just have a generic one. Music is good. There's nothing. I love the world of music. So what I'm putting on the stand are fake pockets.
Okay. That's actually amazing.
Well, literally, Jack and I were outside at a friend's like birthday last night, and my dress had fake pockets, and I kept trying to put my phone in. It was just it's a fake seam with like a button on it to make it look like a pocket. I'm like, if these aren't going to be fucking real, why are they here? And I got so angry. And then I realized I have many clothes like this.
Was it a fake pocket or was it like a closed pocket that you have to like rip open?
No, a fake pocket. It was from Zara, so it's a fake pocket.
Yeah, definitely.
So there was actually
there's not craftsmanship there.
No actual pocket, and it was just sewed up.
It's for the look, but then like obviously, if it's somebody like Zara that like makes their clothes for 1 cent, they're like, we don't have the budget to create an actual pocket. We'll make a fake one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things when you buy a suit as a guy, a lot of times the breast pocket will be sewed up. And you don't necessarily want to open that up because sometimes if it's not a well-made suit, it'll actually kind of flail open and then it won't ever like sort of stick to your chest. Mm. So But we don't have it nearly as...
That's not a fake pocket. That's just a pocket that,
that is just
like
a pocket that's, that you have to rip open. Up. But you never know whether you're supposed to rip it open or not.
Mm, you know, you could always use a little double-sided tape to close that thing right back up.
But that's guys, right. guys can't complain because we are constantly wearing pants. Most of our pants do have pockets. So
a man's pants without a pocket is a sight that I don't want to see.
Yes.
No, and shan't be unseen.
It just like gives me the heebie-jeebies to think about a pocketless pants for man.
Yes.
For men.
Unless they're soccer shorts, you don't need to be wearing those.
No.
Or like soccer shorts have pockets.
They do.
No, I mean, if you're wearing soccer shorts from like, I remember I bought like a Team Italy, you know, World Cup soccer shorts, and I'm wearing them going, why the hell did I buy these? Because there literally were no pockets in them.
No. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to just tap into your Euro side.
Fake pockets, guilty AF.
Guilty. Okay.
Billy?
All right. So I'm not going to go music either, but I'm going to talk about something that I think is important. This whole idea of these challenges. I know I'm going to sound really old, but these TikTok challenges, there's a new challenge that's out there that is kick in the door of your neighbor. Have you heard about this?
No.
No.
God, I sound so old with this. Have you heard? I sound like
those
a morning,
dang kids from down
morning
the street.
DJ.
Those dang
so
kids are at it again.
These kids doing where they videotape themselves kicking in the door of a neighbor.
Billy, you're like an angry neighbor from up the street that the kids are afraid of.
You're going to get your door kicked in.
So I want to know about this.
Wait, what is it?
About,
I don't understand.
That's all they're doing. They're kicking in a door of a like, and then videotaping the reaction. It's the same thing like Fire in the Hole. I don't know if you remember that, where you would get a drink. You never seen this?
No.
All right,
what TikTok? What
Fire in the
weird
hole? This is even before. This is
TikTok.
Even before TikTok.
Sounds like you're in a weird Gen Z TikTok algorithm that you don't belong in.
Fire in the hole.
He's like, how do I stay young? Okay, Gen Z trends.
Fire in the hole was you get a soda from Taco Bell or something like that. They give it to you, and then you yell "Fire in the hole" and you throw it back into the. Because you're in the driveway, you throw
so
it through the window.
Mean.
So ridiculous, but
you
people
throw
were
it through
doing
the window.
And it sounds
the
like
Taco
you could get arrested for assault.
Yes,
like
of
it sounds
you could.
Like
yes.
You can assault people that way.
I need to there, go. What? Go ahead.
Then there was also the milk crate challenge. You saw that, right?
That one. I heard about the injuries, but I think Jack had more questions about the Taco Bell one.
No, I'm going back. I need to go back to the kicking in of the neighbor's door. So, like, do you kick it and it breaks off? And then
you're trying to kick it, and you know, a lot of doors you can kick open. A lot of, you know, particularly in places where people
isn't
don't
that like vandalism
legal? It's like
yeah, it is
entering.
It is, but we're doing. Everybody is looking for content. Everybody wants content. Everybody's trying to get more followers. We've created this monster for ourselves, and people are going to start doing more and more and worse stuff.
But you're not allowed to burgle people's homes.
No. It's like the thing, it's like the Jake Paul and Logan Paul, where they're like trying to do the sort of jackassy sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like shock value kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the sort of
K-hole
that Billy has traveled down on TikTok on my For You page.
And mm-hmm. Jake Paul has become huge, and he's a boxer now.
Huge.
And he's making millions and millions of dollars.
I know. He knows what's up.
He does know what's up. That's what
I wish I knew who you guys were talking about.
Everybody was giving that guy crap, but I'm telling you, Muhammad Ali would love that guy because he'd look at him and say, that guy knows how to bring in fans. And that's
he's been a boxer or a fighter his entire life. So
has
people
he?
Being
yeah.
like, oh, he's just like, yeah, he's been like a trained fighter like since
good,
his
good for
whatever.
Him. I'm all about it.
But even if he wasn't, I love people who just do shit and are good at it. Like The Miz from The Real World, how he turned into a pro wrestler.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm
WWE.
Like, I love that for him. I'm like,
no,
that is so funny.
I met him once.
Really?
Yeah. After his wrestling days. I don't know. I
he's
watched,
still
like,
wrestling.
He was doing like a stand-up.
That. I love that he pivoted to that from Real World. I think that's so funny.
What was great on The Real World is that The Miz was like, I'm going to be a wrestler. And everyone's looking at it, yeah, right. And he became one of the biggest wrestlers in the world.
I know. He's probably making like millions of dollars a year while everybody else is like going on the challenge for the 15th time.
They peaked in Road Rules or Real World or whichever it was. And he's like, I'm going to become, he's like Rock Jr.
I know.
Yes. All right.
Jokes on everybody else. All right.
So challenges. I'm going to say guilty. Just come up with something else, guys.
I don't even know what you're talking about, so I guess I'll say guilty.
Guilty.
All right. Well, when we come back, it is time for some True Crime Rewind.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's True Accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the RealReal makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. We are going to rewind on some true crime. This isn't necessarily a crime, but it certainly is a tragedy. Yes. We're talking about the day the music died, happened today in 1959. Now, this was the plane crash, four people, Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, the Big Bopper, and the pilot. Why was Buddy Holly one of the biggest rock and roll stars on this tour? Now, one of the things about this tour, and we do have a resident musician who is sitting probably 20 feet away from Jack, probably either mixing music or playing a video game. What is he doing?
I don't know where he is right now, but I'll text him to come on over.
Okay, so we could start with why Buddy Holly was on this tour. The year before, Buddy Holly, and you guys know who Buddy Holly is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Peggy Sue, all that. All right. He ditched the Crickets, which was his old band, and he needed money. So he wanted to go. Apparently, his manager had stolen money from him, and he wanted to raise money in order to move back to New York City to be with his wife, who was pregnant. So he signs up with this team called General Artists Corporation because they were planning a British tour and he wanted to be on that. So if, in order for him to like be in their good graces and be on the British tour, he's got to do this tour, the Winter Dance Party Tour. That's what it's called. And it really is winter. We're talking about winter in the upper Midwest. So for the start of this dance party, he puts together a band. Waylon Jennings is on bass. Tommy Alsip is on guitar. And they go through 24 Midwestern cities. Now, the distance between the venues, nobody figured it out. And we have a map, which we can post, of where
Billy,
the venues are.
Billy, you cannot post that map.
No one cares.
No one cares. But, I'm so sorry. We will not post that map. What are you even talking about?
Because, all right, you're going to have to back me up, Jared, because they're doing a show every night, but they didn't think, we're going to do a show one night and then have us do a show the next night only, you know, 50 miles down the road. They were crisscrossing these four states of Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois with no rhyme or reason whatsoever. They were just
chaos,
going all
chaos,
over the place.
Chaos. It should be criminal to be this disorganized.
The point of that is, and Jared, I found Jared, I've located him.
Hello.
But the point of the, I think what Billy is trying to say is the fact that like when you're touring and you're on a tour bus, like you can't be going over like 400 miles a night or else it's like a fucking shit show.
They call it an overdrive. So, I mean, I've done tours where we do that, like especially when we're in like the Northeast, we just bounce back and forth like the whole time, and it feels crazy. But sometimes it's because certain venues are like you could only book a venue on a certain day, and you got to circle back. But you feel crazy when you're doing it. And looking at the map right now, that's nuts.
That we're not going to post.
That is so crazy.
So, and you're doing this in the comfort of your very large tour bus, the Maine's gigantic tour bus.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's like the
very
best tour
posh.
Bus I've ever seen.
But here's what they were driving in. Now, remember, the interstate highway system hadn't been built yet. So they're driving on these little, you know, single lane highways, 10 to 12 hours, freezing conditions. And the buses that they were in were constantly breaking down. They were reconditioned school buses. So it's so they're just sitting, you know, the artist, there were no road crew, by the way, no roadies. Mm-hmm. The artist had to, you know, load in their stuff. And these are like people that are at the top of the charts as this is going on.
Madness. True madness. I cannot believe my ears.
It's as if nobody had figured out how to do it right yet. It's like, it feels so like...
You know, it's
like,
funny. Jared still has to load his own shit sometimes, so he understands.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
But when you don't load your own shit, you sell out, like as we were talking about in
That's
the other
right.
one.
You don't want to be a sellout.
So this obviously led to sickness. So the Big Bopper and Richie Valens had flu-like symptoms. One guy had frostbitten feet. Not COVID. everybody was sick. So sick that like the drummers were just falling. They were too sick. And Richie Valens and Buddy Holly were actually playing drums on other people's bands. That was going on as well. Jared shaking his head. That didn't happen on Warped Tour.
I mean, if somebody asked me to fill in, I'd be like, no. Too much going on.
You're not paying me.
Too much to learn.
Okay, so now we get to February 2nd. This is the tour. This is the last stop. It wasn't supposed to be the last stop. It was right in the middle. It was called the Surf Ballroom. Wasn't even on the schedule, but they were trying to fill up a date. And they said, yeah, okay, let's do it. We're going to go to Clear Lake, Iowa and play this. Buddy Holly was like, all right, this tour sucks. I hate this. I don't want to be here. It's too cold. Everybody's sick. I'm going to charter a plane because I can afford it. And he said, let me charter a plane from Clear Lake, Iowa, and then go to Fargo, North Dakota, which is right near Moorhead, Minnesota. And then the band would pick him up there, and then they would go to the next concert. So he's got his band, the band going to come on the plane. And one of the guys is not going to go on the Waylon Jennings said, I'm not going to go because these other guys are sick. Let the big bopper go on. Now, Waylon Jennings turned out to be a, you know, a very famous musician in his own right. Buddy Holly learned that Jennings was not going to fly. And he said, well, I hope your old bus freezes up. And Waylon responded to him with, well, I hope your old plane crashes.
Oh, not a good move.
So then Richie Valens, who hated flying his entire life, asked the Tommy Allsup, who is the guitar player, can I have your seat because I'm sick. The two do a coin toss. Richie Valens wins. And he actually says, that's the first time I've ever won anything in my life. Wow. They get in this plane. The guy is really young, but he's really experienced. He's got a lot of, time behind the controls. It takes off and then it crashes. Apparently it takes off at a, the right wing tip had struck the ground first. And then the plane went cartwheeling. The bodies of Buddy Holly and Richie Valens were ejected from the fuselage. J.P. Richardson's body was thrown over a fence into a cornfield. And they said that all four victims died instantly, and the cause of death was gross trauma to the brain.
Yikes.
Now,
yeah.
So this, one of the things that happened here is that, and the legacy of one of these, of this story is that the families found out about it before the authorities could tell them. They found out about it through the media. So one of the things that's happened since then is that telling the families before it goes out into the media. But that didn't happen this time.
But
Buddy Holly's widow.
Didn't that happen with Kobe? Like, didn't their family
find out? Did it happen with Kobe? Yeah. Well,
through TMZ or whatever?
Maybe. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. So, you know, fast forward through to March 6, 2007, and they had to exhume the Big Bopper's body to put him into another grave. And his son took the opportunity to have his body re-examined because there was a rumor about the accident which said that a firearm had actually took place, a discharge of a firearm took place, and that's what caused the crash. So somebody thought that there was a gun in the, you know, because everybody likes conspiracy theories. So they actually took the body of the Big Bopper and they looked at, they did x-rays of him and they concluded that no, there was no, you know, bullet or anything like that. They concluded that he actually died instantly. Virtually every bone in his body was broken. And the original report from 1959 was accurate that this was just an accident. But it was an accident that certainly could have been prevented because the tour was so poorly put together.
Yikes.
Jared's had enough.
Don't be doing any of those flying.
You know what's crazy? The run that we just did over the summer, we kept having bus problems. So I just kept flying. I just was like, I'm not going to stick around for this. And I would just, me and Jack would just like fly to the next city. I don't know if I'm so like sure I want to do that anymore. What is this?
But he flew on Southwest.
Yeah. If you're, exactly. I think it's the smaller planes in the middle of, And another thing that happened too is that they told the weather report hadn't really been transferred over something. So he shouldn't have taken off in that weather. He should have said, no, this is not good to take off in. So
that's spooky.
So that is the day the music died. What do you think now? You're going to listen to some Buddy Holly?
I'm going to listen to that song. That is a classic song.
Oh, American
Don
Pie.
McLean one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very informative, Billy.
Yeah.
I have a new wrinkle in my brain.
There you go.
Look at that.
All right. But yes, that was a bad thing, but we're going to hear about even worse things. No, we're not. It's nothing worse than that, actually, when it comes down to it. But we're going to hear about some bad things that you people have done next.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Welcome, you terrible people. We're so excited to share some of your most cringeworthy acts.
Yes.
With the audience. So we're going to dive right in to the first one. Hang tight.
Hey, Billy, Alexis, and Jack. I am calling to tell you guys maybe the worst thing I've ever done. I don't know. So when I was about 19, my best friend and I used to do drugs, acid, and we would drive around in his Jeep and just hang out and do stuff. He was an electrician, and he always had trash in his car from being on the job site. So one night, I decided there was too much stuff in my way, so I grabbed a roll of duct tape and started making a giant trash ball. And as we were driving through the neighborhood of someone that I wasn't really good friends with, I threw the ball of trash out the Jeep window. And as we passed a car on the side of the street, I heard the back windshield shatter and looked in the mirror just in time to see, because I was on drugs, one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen, which was the glass exploding into the air. When I sobered up, I felt really, really bad for 2 or 3 years. Fast forward to when I bought my first brand new car. About a week after I got it, I came home from work, was waiting for my boyfriend to get home, and his roommate walked in and said, "What happened to your car?" I said, "That's not funny." Went outside. Sure enough, the back windshield of my car was missing, just like what had happened the night I was on acid. And I started looking in my car to make sure nothing had been stolen, and I found underneath the pedals on the driver's side a shattered 40 of OE. Somebody had done the exact same thing to my car that I had done to another person. And that was when I knew karma was real. Love you guys. Jack, Alexis, I just want you to know, when I met Billy, he told me his favorite podcast co-host was Jared. Do with that what you will. Love you guys.
Well, we'll start with the ending there. It's very politically correct, Billy, for you to choose Jared, because I don't know how the other decision would have gone. But let's
I think I actually remember you.
This that is that really was just like a right in the heart. But like, honestly, I can agree.
Yes.
But yeah, I agree
too. What an amazing story though.
Yeah, no, great story. What I loved the most is like when it happened, if I had done what you had done, like a pang of fear would jolt through me. You just saw like art and beauty. Like you had no fear. You had no sorrow or regret or like panic. I would have panicked and you were like, look at the beautiful glass shards. Like you were just appreciating it as it came.
I don't know like what type of hallucination you see specifically on acid, but I feel like it could probably go wrong really easily. So I'm glad that like a jarring experience for like a normal person ended up having like a nice impact on you mentally during that moment.
Yes, yes. And I hope that you knew that person was okay, that they just, their window broke and that sucks, but they're fine, although a little shaken up. But I'm going to just assume that you know that to be true, which is why, you know, only feeling bad for 3 years, I feel like that would have carried over a little
longer. Well, she only felt bad until she got her karma, and then she probably was
because
like,
it's just, if it's just a windshield, you can get over that.
Yeah.
But how amazing it for that karma when you go out there, okay, oh right, my window's broken, maybe it was a rock, maybe it was whatever, and then you actually look in and it's a 40. That is just, that's beyond karma. That is the world telling you something. I don't know what it's telling you. I have no idea. But the universe is telling you something there.
So what is the world telling you if a trash ball flies into your car?
I know. I really thought that she was going to say, and the same trash ball I found underneath the pedal. And I'm like, somebody's been stalking you. Like, this really is the craziest story I've ever heard.
No, that would be like the golf ball story in The Whale from Seinfeld.
Yes.
Oh my God, yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it full, was. True full the sea circle was, moment.
Yeah. The sea was angry that day, my friend.
Oh my God. Yes.
I love it. Well, great story. Glad no one was hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
On to the next.
Hey guys, I'm calling to tell you about the worst thing I've ever done. About 10 years ago in college, I was at a friend's house for a party and I got pretty drunk. And at the end of the night, I decided I wanted to walk back to my dorm, which is about 3 miles away. My buddy is trying to stop me, but I was really motivated to get back to my dorm for some reason. So he finally gives up and I get out of the house. And the last thing I remember is being 10 yards from the front door and thinking, it's a little chilly out. Next thing I know, I open my eyes to a cat staring at me and I'm laying on the couch covered with a decorative blanket. None of these things belong to anyone I know. And I realize I have no idea where I'm at. Looking around, there were cats everywhere. Weird sculptures and paintings everywhere. I'm covered in cuts and bruises all over my feet and arms. My shoes were missing. I had no idea if I was invited in or if I just walked in. So I hop up thinking I need to get the hell out of here. Do a quick scan for my shoes. Couldn't find them, so I said, screw it. Go to the front door. It's locked. Go to the back door. It's open. So I run out and around the street. And after I get my bearings, I realize I didn't even make it a half mile away from my friend's house. So I start running back barefoot and get to his house. I open the door and immediately step in a pile of dog diarrhea because their dog's gotten into some beer the night before and went all over the house. So I walk out, hungover, clean off my feet. And that's when I realized how cut up my feet were. I had flaps of skin on my heels. It just wasn't great. So I clean up, go back in the house, find my friend in his room. And he just gives me this bizarre look and asks, where the fuck did you come from? I shook my head and just go back to the couch to try and sleep. But he grabs all his roommates, brings them over and has me explain what happened. So I tell them everything. And to this day, they have never let me live down the time I woke up at Catwoman's house. I have no idea if I was invited in or walked in and went to sleep, but yeah, a story, kind of funny, but hope you enjoy it.
Sir, when you say you're unsure whether you were invited in or broken, we're going to go with you were probably invited in. And that's why there was that nice blanket draped over you. Maybe the cats let you in.
Maybe. I need to make a note of like, anytime one of our male listeners calls in, they all sound like very sexual cowboys.
They honestly have such good voices.
They all sound the same.
Yeah.
Like, are they all coming from the same neighborhood?
That, do you guys like, all chop wood together and wear plaid shirts?
And listen to our podcast? Like, yeah, every single one sounds like they should be wearing spurs and bootcut jeans with like, their cowboy boots.
Like, fixing flat tires and like building decks on people's houses and
there's like one little community in Kennesaw Mountain, Georgia that's just like, yeah, that's what we do, man.
All of our listeners.
Sounds like the last guy that's called in.
Want it, you know, we hang out, we drink beer, we listen to First Degree.
Like, I haven't even met a man in person that sounds like that maybe in my entire life, but somehow every one of our callers sounds like that.
I love that.
Like, remember the guy that like slept with his best friend's girlfriend in the same bed? Like, he sounded like him too.
Maybe it is him
calling over and over again.
Maybe he's just like a very naughty boy. Yeah. Got lots of confessions.
Oh my God. It's like every time I hear that like low smoky voice, I'm like, oh
no, it could be like the same three on rotation and they're treating us like, you know, confession. Like,
I love that.
This is how they're Hail Marys and now they're going to go continue on doing more sneaky things.
Oh my gosh. I love it. Please keep calling. Oh my God. I can't. Yes. I'm like,
this is a call to all the sexual,
Lester Jack.
I'm blushing.
All the sexual cowboys out there. Keep calling.
It's whatever you're doing, it's working on Jack.
Yeah. It is. I forget what this story is about. Cats, diarrhea, feet.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I love it. I love it.
All right. Well, I don't even remember the story. So I think that it's time to maybe have a little Costanza stanza.
Yes.
Maybe love Costanza, if you will.
Oh, hmm.
This one's called George Hates Music. George hates music. He cannot sing. He cannot dance. His body flails as if he's in a trance.
Oh my God.
He can't carry a simple tune. His voice sounds like impending doom.
Mm.
George hates music just because. Does George hate music? Yes, he does.
That was great.
Did you write that on the plane?
Yeah, I wrote that on the plane.
Oh my God, I love it. That was
A plus work. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Bye.
See you next week.
Bye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.